Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, Text Number 10. Atak Shamas Varyucha Me Rajo Bhavo. Yajanatas Tvat Pritak Ishamanina. Ajavale Panda Ptamonda Chakshusha. Esho Nukampyo Mai Natavaniti. Ata. Therefore. Shemasva. Please excuse Achyuta, O infallible Lord, may me, Raja Bhuva, who have taken birth in the mode of passion. He, indeed, Ajanata, being ignorant, but from you, pritak, separate, isha, a controller, manina, presuming myself, aja, the unborn creator, avalepa, the covering, andatama, by such darkness of ignorance, Anda, blinded, Chakshusha, my eyes, Esha, this person, Anukampya, should be shown mercy, Mai, me, Natavan, having as his master, Iti, thus thinking. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion, and I am therefore simply foolish. Presuming myself a controller, independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. Please consider that I am your servant and therefore worthy of your compassion. Purport. In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Brahma wanted to present the following argument to the Lord. My dear Lord, because I have acted so badly, I certainly deserve to be punished. On the other hand, because I am so ignorant, you should consider me an innocent fool and be merciful to me. Thus, although I deserve both punishment and forgiveness, I humbly beg you to exercise tolerance in this matter and simply forgive me and show me your mercy. The word Natavan, E.T., indicate that Lord Brahma wanted to humbly remind Lord Krishna that he was, after all, Brahma's father and master, and should therefore forgive the unfortunate transgressions of his humble servant. Every conditioned soul, whether he be Lord Brahma or an insignificant ant, falsely identifies himself with the material world, and this way forgets his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma, because of his prestigious position as the cosmic creator, also tends to identify himself as the Lord of this world, and thus he sometimes forgets his position as an insignificant servant of the Supreme Lord. Now, by Lord Krishna's mercy, his false identification is being rectified. And Lord Brahma is remembering his constitutional position as the eternal servant of God. Translation again. Therefore, O infallible Lord, kindly excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion. I am therefore simply foolish, presuming myself a controller, independent of your lordship. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as the unborn creator of the universe. Please consider that I am your servant and therefore worthy of your compassion. So Lord Brahma is taking birth in the mode of passion. That is, his purpose of taking birth was to create the universe. Creation is under the mode of passion. Of course, he's not an ordinary conditioned soul. He's the topmost conditioned soul. So although he still identifies himself with his gross and subtle body, his identification is not on the same level as our identification. It is said that Adal Shraddha Vajana Kriya, Adal Shraddha Tata Suru Sangha, that when one begins devotional service, materialistic experience is in full force, if you haven't noticed that yet. That is, our identification with this gross material and subtle material body slackens just a little slightly, especially when we're engaged in sadhana bhakti. Of course, there's no one tells us we're not supposed to chant Hare Krishna throughout the day. But generally speaking, in the beginning especially, we get distracted. And even when we're chanting japa in the morning, it's not that there's no distraction. Even when we're directly supposed to be listening to the holy name and chanting it, still we get distracted. What to speak of when we're not trying to concentrate on the holy name? We can understand that the beginning, Adal Shraddha Saru Sangha, that since we were born in the modes of ignorance, unlike Lord Brahma, who was born in the mode of passion, therefore a slight spiritualization of our consciousness doesn't really change our false ego that much. Therefore, in the association of devotees, we learn we have a false ego. Of course, most conditioned souls and even some devotees are insulted when they're told they have a false ego. They think they're already liberated, although they completely identify themselves with a gross and subtle body. They don't think it's bad to do that. As a matter of fact, they have no way of not doing it. Therefore, in Bhajana Kriya, there is a possibility of making some advancement out of the material conception of life. In Sadhu Sangha, then we get the information of how to perform Bhajana Kriya. Everything is summarized in the four verses of the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaturshloki verses. Aham Savasya Pravo Matak Savam Pravartate Iti Aham Savasya Pravo Matak Savam Pravartate Iti Ba. What is that thing? Vajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. Aham Saravasya Prabhava Matak Saram Pravartite. Iti Matva Bhaja. That's not right. Iti. Matva Bhajate Mam. Iti Madhva Bhajan. Oh, that's right. Aham Sarasya Prabhava Matak Saram Pravartite Iti Madhva Bhajante Imam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. So Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. So Aham, I, Sarvasya, everything. Prabhava, the source of generations. Matak Sarvam Pravartate. For me, the entire creation flows. In other words, there's nothing separate from Krishna, except for our consciousness. And even that consciousness, identifying ourselves with the gross and subtle material energy, is still connected with Krishna. There's nothing outside of Krishna's control. Although we may imagine we're outside of Krishna's control. But either we serve Krishna through his internal energy or through his external energy. In any case, he makes all the arrangements for our service. Iti Matva, knowing, Bhajantemam, become devoted. Therefore, when we see that either we're directly serving Krishna or we're imagining that we're not serving Krishna. So therefore, those who are intelligent or sane, they decide it would be better to serve Krishna and enjoy life than imagine we're not serving Krishna and suffer under the mode of ignorance and passion. Buddha. So Buddha means intelligence, the learned. Bhava Samanvita. So the learned persons, they focus their mind on Krishna. That means we have to give up the idea that we're separate from Krishna and that Krishna is not very important, that I have so many other things, so many other representations of Krishna that I want to serve, his energies. I don't want to serve him directly. So when one makes that conviction that actually the goal of life is to obtain Krishna, then he can actually take advantage of hearing from the devotees. As Prabhupada said, it's only in the association of sincere devotees that one can actually, devotees who are actually interested in making spiritual advancement, do this knowledge have any potency to it? Or do we take advantage of this knowledge? What are Prabhupada's exact words? So the commentary should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial. And then Prabhupada writes here, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one who has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of material existence, he is considered liberated. And then he says, the messages of the Supreme Personality of God are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics relating the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for his realized knowledge. The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, and gives them the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna and the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very potent, and if a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement towards spiritual realization. So, the messages become powerful in the association of those who are actually interested in making spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement means to get out of the natural concept of life. So, Brahma he has a false ego, and what to speak of ourselves. Now he thinks himself the control of the whole universe, and we think we're the control of the little room we're in. And the mouse who's living in our room thinks he's in control of the hole in the mouth, in the wall. So there's really no difference between ourselves and the mouse if we think we're controlling this room or this building or whatever else we think we're controlling. And Brahma has the same problem. And as the basis of that problem, we take birth after birth, trying to fulfill our desires to control some part of this material universe, some part of this illusory world we're living in. But Brahma has enough intelligence, and he has enough mercy coming from Krishna to realize that he's in Maya. And he has a better conception than we have. What is that Maya? So he can get out of the Maya. So that's our opportunity also. Although we're, practically speaking, absorbed in Maya, in this bodily concept of life, if we get some idea of what is the Maya and what is devotional service, then we can try to use our intelligence to concentrate our minds upon Krishna. Specifically, for instance, we're advised to concentrate on the holy name. Concentrating on the holy name doesn't mean just Hare Krishna. It also means to concentrate on the holy name, understanding who Krishna is, that he's full of bliss, full of awareness, eternally, he's the best friend of everyone, he's the controller of everything, he's the enjoyer of whatever sacrifice, including the chanting of the holy name. So happily chanting Hare Krishna is also the way of concentrating on the holy name. We don't necessarily like to concentrate on something that gives us pain. For instance, if we go to the dentist and he starts drilling on a tooth, certainly we're concentrating on the drilling of the tooth, but we don't like it. We're trying to take our concentration off because it's very unpleasant. Similarly, if we chant the holy name in a way that's unpleasant to us, we're not going to concentrate on it very much. We're just forcing ourselves. It's just a great austerity. It's like you dive into an ocean of nectar. And you're very unhappy about it. You can't really take advantage of it. You're trying to hold your nose not to smell the nectar. You're trying to not take to swallow any of it. But you're in the ocean of nectar. So our philosophy is simply to convince us that it's a good idea to concentrate on Krishna's name. And the best way of doing it is to chant Hare Krishna without anxiety about the future and the past. Forget about the past that sleeps, nor the future dream, but live in times that are the now and progress you will call. In other words, concentrate on Krishna in the here and now, and don't worry about what happened in the past, because you can't change it anyhow. There's so many movies about people going back in a time machine and just causing more havoc in their life. Because we're convinced we learned something. But if we learned anything, we should learn that we can't change. Even if we could change the past, we wouldn't do a very good job of it right now. And as far as the future goes, we can change our future, but only in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's puna puna charvita charvananam. We'll just be doing the same thing over and over again. Everyone in the universe, whether Brahma or the insignificant ant and ourselves, everyone is doing the same thing outside of Krishna consciousness, namely eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and fearing. Fearing old age, fearing disease, fearing death, and fearing where we're going to come back, what's going to happen to us in the future. So rather than just getting tricked by Maya, because Maya just bounces us like a ping pong ball from the past to the future, rather than just allowing our consciousness to become covered and bewildered by Maya, We could try to concentrate it on Krishna. So relax. Not too much though. So that we fall asleep. Oh, relax. No, we should relax means give up the worries about the past, give up the worries about the future, and just happily chant Hare Krishna. Asking sincerely Srimati Radharani and Krishna to engage us in the loving service and to do it as lovingly as possible. That's all we have to do. We don't have to read volumes and volumes of books. We just have to happily, because that's probably as close as we can get to loving right now, or carefully, feelingly, as much as we can put into it, say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just become receptive. Prakriti means receptivity. Receptive to the mercy Krishna wants to give us. Because Krishna is emanating love. We're just unreceptive to it, that's all. It's like we put up the shield. The love is coming to us, just bouncing off the shield. We're chanting Hare Krishna, and we're saying, no, it can't be. Krishna can't be loving me. He can't be so blissful. I can't. So we just put up the shield of denial, saying Krishna can't be there. He can't be what he says he is. And therefore, just bounces off our impenetrable shield of denial and doubt. So just relax and say, all right, Krishna, if you're, I allow you to make me happy. I give up my denial of you. I give up all my doubts for a moment or two and just try to feel receptive to the holy name and see what happens. And if it doesn't happen, try again. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Usually we're doing here, we're hankering and lamenting about something. So Brahma has the same problem. He just makes bigger mistakes than we do, that's all. Our mistakes are insignificant, so no one notices them. And Brahma's mistakes are big, so Krishna notices them. Of course, Krishna notices our mistakes too. But Brahma, we can't even see the coward boys, the calves, what to speak of stealing them. We just steal little things from Krishna. A car, a wife, a husband, a house, some money. We think it is mine. It's not yours, Krishna. It's mine. I do with it what I like. Whatever the illusory energy tells me, I'm going to do with it because it's mine. You're not there. You can't do anything about it. Sorry, Krishna. But as it says, whether you steal a chora or a kora, whether you steal a diamond or you steal a cucumber, you're still a thief. So the material world is based upon innumerable thieves trying to deny Krishna's existence and imagining that they've stolen something from him. And therefore they're always bound by the illusory energy, bound by the material conceptions of life, and put into prisons of different bodies. And proud of them. I don't have just an ordinary body, I have a very nice body. It's a young body. It's so intelligent. It has so many resources. I don't really need Krishna because I'm enjoying life. So Brahma realized that he had made a mistake and he's asking for forgiveness because he's Krishna's eternal servant. So we're also Krishna's eternal servants. We're also incarnations, like Brahma's incarnation and the mode of passion. We're incarnations of the darkest modes of ignorance. We're what's known as the Mudha avatar, the fool incarnation. So Brahma realizes he's also a fool, but he has enough intelligence to realize it, to actually accept it. And therefore he's asking, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano, Punjana evatma kritam vipakam. He's praying for Krishna's mercy. But in conditioned life, we're reluctant to do that. Why should I pray for Krishna's mercy. I have so much going for me. As Prabhupada said, the problem with my disciples is that they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. We think it's okay. When things get bad, then I'll pray to Krishna again. Then I'll take shelter of him. But right now, I got my plans. I got my resources. I got so many things going for me. Why should I lower myself to become humble and feel myself without any protection except for Krishna? Because I have so many things. So this is called illusion. We've hankered for this illusion in our previous lifetimes, and we received it. And we lament that we don't have enough illusion. We need more of it. But actually our situation is that everything is perfect if we realize our position. If we realize that we're 1/10,000th of the size of Tiparan size and that we really need Krishna. Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premamananda Sukhi Kripa Bolo Korakari Ami Bolo Duki. That I'm unhappy. You think, well, I'm not so unhappy. My back's not hurting me anymore. Most of my teeth have fillings in them. This is prasadam after this class. Life is good. My bed is comfortable. What more can I ask for? Krishna has given me his full mercy. No, we should understand our fallen condition. Otherwise, we can't become elevated if we don't understand we're fallen. And how we're fallen. Not that I'm fallen, I'm so depressed because I'm fallen. No, we should understand what is our basic reality and why, what are we doing, and how will either help me concentrate my mind upon Krishna or distract me from concentrating my mind upon Krishna. And maybe even write down what's distracting me from Krishna and what's helping me concentrate my mind upon Krishna. And then make some kind of plan to stop doing the things, or at least regulate the things that are drawing my mind away from Krishna, and try to do more of the things that concentrate my mind upon Krishna. Like come to the program and try to pay attention, read Prabhupada's books, try to assimilate the knowledge, worship the deities, try to serve the devotees. No, here comes the devotee, they're going to ask me to do something, let me hide. This is too much. I got so many other things that my mind is telling me to do. Now they're going to tell me to serve Krishna. This is terrible. Besides that, they think they're my Prabhu. But no one's my Prabhu. I'm independent. I'm the master. I'm not going to take shelter of this insignificant devotee who claims that they're devotee. I know who they really are. No, we have the main thing, Siddham Prasangam Amavirya Sambhido. It's in the association of devotees we make advancement, but we don't like to associate with the devotees in Krishna consciousness because we have a material conception of ourselves and everyone else. And therefore, if we actually get some instruction from the devotees and carry it out in the consciousness that I'm actually their servant to the servant, we make tremendous advancement. In Krishna consciousness, Krishna becomes tremendously pleased, not by having a big position and doing, you know, accomplishing so much. Krishna becomes pleased when we actually adopt a real state of consciousness, especially in the association of devotees, and think ourselves to be their humble servants, not looking at everyone and trying to figure out why am I better than them, and thinking, oh my God, this. They're better than me at this, but I'm better than them in that, in this other thing too. I'm a man. She's just a lady. Why should I serve them? They should be serving me. I'm intelligent. I know so many slokas. They're depending on mine to quote a sloka and tell a joke. Otherwise, they can't make any advancement due to my causeless mercy. So Brahma thinks he's the controller of the universe. We're thinking with some other kind of controller, some other something special, because we're imagining we're this body and it belongs to us. we imagine that this intelligence is my intelligence, that whatever I can remember is coming from me, and I deserve the credit, not Krishna. It's not that he's supplying it to me. It's mine. So this is called illusion. Therefore, chanting Hare Krishna, serving the deities, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, serving the devotees, and try to preach, make the atmosphere spiritual. It takes us out of the material concept of life, where we can actually concentrate our mind upon Krishna and feel at least some satisfaction that we're doing the right thing. We're actually feeling above the modes of material nature. And eventually, when we can actually remember Krishna's form spontaneously and his pastimes, we'll feel some transcendental pleasure. And that transcendental pleasure means we're becoming purified from the modes of ignorance and passion. Getting out of our... We may not immediately get out of our false ego, because false ego goes even after liberation. After liberation from the material concept of life of nishta, which is very elevated, which is where Brahma is situated. Even then, material consciousness is in full force. Even our false ego is quite dominant. But our spiritual life is also beyond just being regulated to the bhajana kriya, it's also pervasive. Only at the stage when we come to the stage of asakti, after intense happiness, at the stage of ruchi and asakti, do we actually discover who we actually are, and we don't identify ourselves with this false ego. But that's very advanced. So while we're in this false ego, at least we should also understand, theoretically, I'm Krishna's eternal servant, and I'm the servant of his servant, and then try to act according to that. That's called faith. Although we're immersed in illusion by the false ego's grace, still, as a matter of faith, we follow the process, and we experience some happiness, some ecstasy, and that encourages us to go on. Although we forget as soon as we stop. But then we try to remember, what am I doing here? We wake up in the morning like Brahma wakes up in the after his sleeping of 4,300,000,000 years. Gets a nice rest. He wakes up and says, where am I? Even he forgets me, he's sleeping. He forgets. What to speak of ourselves? We wake up, say, where am I? What am I doing here? Oh, I'm supposed to get up. Mangal Arati. So we get covered over very easily, but then as a matter of trying to remember, what am I doing here? If I chant Hare Krishna, what's the result? Or if I go to Mangal Arati, or hear the class, what's the result? I got some happiness. I got some enlightenment. So let me go, although I don't want to go. My mind is telling me, serve your body, serve your false ego, serve your senses, serve your feelings. Well, don't do that. You know, you can go tomorrow. It'll still be there. No, we think, well, no, wait a second. Like I decided to take 2 minutes rest before greeting the deities. So I set my alarm for 2 minutes, it rang. And I said, oh, I cut it off. And then 30 seconds went by and said, I should get up. But then I was thinking, I don't really want to get up because I was experiencing the mode of ignorance. The mode of goodness makes it very attractive to stay asleep. So they said, well, this is the mode of ignorance. So as soon as I recognized it was the mode of ignorance, then I became aloof from it, and I got up immediately. Because it wasn't so attractive when I thought, well, this is an opportunity to actually enjoy life in the mode of ignorance. I think, well, no, this is just the mode of ignorance. This, you know, I've experienced this before. So we have to recognize, you know, we're in the modes of nature, but as a matter of faith, we should think, well, no, I should go forward and do something because it was actually better. I got a better taste from doing devotional service and following the program than I do from the modes of nature. And as long as we don't have that conviction, then we're up and down like a yo-yo. Then we think, let me enjoy a little bit. It won't be so bad. Like Maya says, don't worry, I'll wake you up, even if you go to sleep. If you want to go to sleep in 10 minutes, I'll wake you up. 10 minutes go by, and Maya says, well, just take a little bit more rest. Then it's 20 minutes, a half an hour. And an hour goes by, and you say, Maya, you said you were going to wake me up. Well, I fell asleep too. What can I tell you? So we trust Maya. We trust the most material nature. Then we'll always be disappointed. Or maybe we won't be disappointed. Maybe we'll think we're enjoying. But we won't become Krishna conscious, that's all. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes. Oh, we need the microphone. Over here. She's told us she's going to attend every class by the internet and ask questions.
Until tomorrow.
Till tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow.
you mentioned that devotees should chant and worship and read the books and perform devotional service.
Aspiring devotees.
And derive some sort of transcendence.
Tushanti is called. Tushanti. Some satisfaction.
Yes, yeah, some satisfaction of the things well done. And my question is, if in the community, in Ayatra, devotees are more or less all depressed, what does it mean? That they are not doing these things, or that they are not doing them properly, or maybe, I don't know, there are offenses there?
That's right. All the above.
Okay, then how can they get out of it?
Come to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, Bhagavad Gita class, come to Mangal Arati, get up early, chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, serve the devotees, and try to do some preaching. Try to advance the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes, but when you are depressed, you kind of find it hard to get motivated.
Yes, it's difficult.
So
Maya will help. She'll make you even more suffer even more. Till you realize, well, wait a second, I'm suffering. Maybe I should take shelter of Krishna. Help Krishna. So Maya helps. Maya also means mercy. So if we don't want to take shelter of Krishna, Maya will beat us until we get inspired to take shelter of Krishna again. It's inevitable. It's not that Maya is asleep. She says, oh, this poor devotee, he's depressed. Just leave them depressed. No, Maya will smash us. We'll make us more and more depressed. Suffer more and more until we finally think, wait a second, Maya, you're not helping either. I better try to take shelter of Krishna and see if I can improve myself.
And for example, if some devotees are doing, let's say, some of these things, maybe not all of them, and they don't derive this pleasure,
they're not doing it. They don't know what they're doing it for.
Yes, but
they're doing it mechanically.
Then the mind comes and say, why should I continue doing this?
Of course, Maya is always trying to trick us. She tells us, she distracts us when we're doing our devotional program, and we allow ourselves to be distracted. We come with the same mentality, we come anywhere. Whether you come to the temple or you go to the movies, you have the same mentality. Because we watch the movie with more faith that we're going to squeeze some pleasure out of the movie. Then we have faith in coming to the program and try and concentrate our mind on Krishna. We see the deities, we think, oh, big deal, the deities. It's God, so what? See Prabhupada, so what? He's a pure devotee. We see the devotees, oh, these are all conditioned devotees. So what? We take prasad and we think, oh, it's just ordinary. We have the same material mindset we came, that we had before even we joined the movement. We refuse to change our mind. So what can be done? Maybe we have a little faith that, you know, by this chanting I'll avoid, I'm taking shelter of the devotees because I don't have to do so much service and the food's nice and I have a nice soft bed and I didn't ever want to work anyhow. So, they get what they pay for. Therefore, Prabhupada didn't want everyone to join the temple, to move into it. Only serious people should live in the temple. Otherwise, they'll commit offenses. And therefore, they'll even be more covered than they were before they joined the temple. It should be people who are serious, understanding the value of the program, understanding the value of the mission, and willing to work for it. So as it says, the best time to figure out who should be in the temple is before they join the temple. Not that they join the temple and they're depressed, they're in anxiety, they don't really like being here. So, it's not a good place for them.
Yeah, but it's convenient. It might be convenient.
Yeah, well, this is not a place, Prabhupada said, for helping people find a convenient place to live. It's a missionary movement. Anything else? All right. Kurandarai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.